And I thank you for your kindness today. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that is working right now. Oh God, I thank you for these young people that got up and danced for you today, that gave glory and honor to you today, that stood before men and women and boys and girls and declared they are overcomers. I pray, God, that that spirit would satiate in every heart and in every life today. That every person in this place, even here now or listening later online, they would know that they're overcomers, they're champions. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I pray, God, that people will leave here today knowing they're above and not beneath. They are first and not last. The enemy will come before them in one way, and your word declares he'll have to leave in seven different directions because of God's Holy Spirit working in them. Now, God, I pray just for the next few minutes, you'll take this word, not my word, your word. Not my ability, your ability. And that you will use it to transform the hearts and the lives of your people today in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, and everybody said a good amen this morning. Can you give one more praise to the Lord today in his house? Boy, I feel God. If you're new here today, if you're a visitor, we have a visitor bag out there for you with some goodies in it. We just want to bless you with it. It's on the table out back. Make sure you just stop there and take one of those with you. I want to encourage you as well for Thanksgiving. That's one of the greatest outreaches that we do during the course of the year. Last year, I think we fed 225, 230. This year, we're going to shoot for 270. They said 275. So if they say 275, I'm believing for 300. How many of you believe with me? And I know we can do that. And things, our cooking arrangements have changed this year because we've transferred next door. We had to have the health department come in to do an inspection. Everything was perfect, but they won't let anybody cook anything outside and bring it in. So we got to do everything there. So instead of you cooking a turkey and bringing it in, we just need you to buy some frozen turkeys, bring them in. I don't know. I don't want nobody bringing in any of their family members and jokes now saying, here's a turkey for you, cook it. That's just funny, that's all. And just lighten up a little bit. But bring in, we need some turkeys. I don't know how many we need. Whatever they say up there, bring five extra. And on the November 23rd, that's a Saturday, they're going to have a pie baking day next door. Now, this is a great, if you're here and you want to learn how to make pies, this is your day to come. If you know how to make pies, this is your day to come. So next door, Generation Center, 9 o'clock. They'll be doing it. It'll be a great day. Have fun. Also, we need some volunteers to help with setting up Christmas decorations. And I can't believe we're talking about Christmas. I just cannot believe. I got a little thing. I'll let you inside. Never in history has this ever happened. Never. Quiet down over there in the front row. My wife, she set up our Christmas tree yesterday. Her and her daughter-in-law, Samantha. I'm like, we're raking leaves. And they're putting up the Christmas tree. She's asking me to stop at Home Depot, get more lights. Something about this just isn't jiving with me. But nevertheless, it's here. So we need some help with decorations. You'll know when it's time. But if you just prepare your heart, say, you know what, I'd like to help. The church is beautiful during the Christmas season. Amen. And that just doesn't happen. It's people giving. And this year, our church is going to be featured in the Genesee County Cancer Assistant, the Tour of Homes. So we're going to be one of the places that they're going to stop off. They're partnering with Vibrant Batavia. And we need some help setting up and making this place just look more awesome than it already does. So if that's you, keep that in your heart. You'll know when that's going to happen. It'll be in just a couple weeks, though. Amen? If you have your Bible and you'd open it up to Isaiah chapter 19, I wanted to talk to you this morning about the habits of a champion. When I think about, and I'm going to give you some of the habits. I'm not going to give you all of them. There's many, but I believe these that I'm going to tell you about are just very important. about that. And I know when some people, they hear the word champion, they think of different things. Some of you, you might think of athletes. And Paulie, this is when you start showing the pictures. Yes, thank you. You might start thinking of athletes in the ring of some sort. Boxers, I like these guys. They were great years. Champions, you think of people with setbacks in their life, still moving forward. I think of Jim Kelly, and look at that, our own Kathy Cervone popped in. I talk about a champion, come on. I think about my grandson, Gabriel Benjamin, championed on the field. You think about political figures like Ronald Reagan, one of the greatest presidents of all time. And then I think about champions in my life, leaders in my life, Pastor Ron and his wife, Karen Domina, Pastor Tommy Barnett, who I think is one of the greatest men in the world. Then I always think of my own children. I think of my son, Ryan, more than a conqueror, a great champion. Amen. I think of Ben. That picture, he just got a 33-mile Spartan run. He's a champion. I think of Garrett. He's such an overcomer, and he's just gone and done things. And I think of my wife. She's at the White House telling the president to get it together there. Of course, I can't leave out my grandchildren. They are champions in my life. I love them. And I think of people in the church. You know, I just think of so many. I was thinking this morning, you know, I just had Chris stand up, a champion coming from a difficult, troubled background and allowing the power of Jesus to lead him and guide him. I think of Paulie, who's running the slides up there. If he doesn't do good this morning, everybody looks up there at him and he feels bad. But Paulie, just coming in the church a couple years ago, a pot smoking, just going nowhere kind of guy, giving his heart to Christ. And then just in a couple years later, he's walking the streets in a third world nation, telling people about the Jesus that set him free. That's a champion. It's a champion. I think about Pastor Larry Becker, who faithful to God day in and day out, giving his life to the purposes and the plans of God on a regular basis. Champion. And when I think about champions, I got to think about the champion himself. And this prophecy in Isaiah is so beautiful. In Isaiah chapter 19, verses 19 and 20, it says, "In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord near its border." Verse 20, "And it will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and He will send them a Savior and a champion, and He will deliver them." He's not only your Savior today, He is your champion. And He's not only our champion, we just don't come to church. You and I are the church. He is living inside of us. Jesus Christ, the one who has come to set people free. He didn't just come and walk around you. He came to live inside of you and be the person and change your life. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children. You have overcome them because He who is in you," come on, say, "He is in me today. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world." And he goes on in verses 12. He says, "No one has seen God at any time." And I'm going to tell you why. "If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify, the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. And whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." Oh, that's good right there. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." And when people look at you, they don't see just you. They see the champion, Jesus Christ, inside of you. If you confess Him, if you say He is yours, that means the love of Christ is inside of you and the person of Jesus is in you. And He is not only your Savior, but one of the attributes that are in you is that you are a champion. Come on, do you believe that today? You are a champion. I want to say big happy birthday to one of my great friends, Mr. Wayne Woller, today. He is a great, what are you today, 38, Wayne-y? Amen. Amen. God, he's the best amener in the house. I want to give you some habits, not all, but some of what a champion is. The first habit of a champion is that they have a great love for God and for people. People that have the champion spirit of Jesus inside of them are not trying to look through people, but they're trying to see people through. They're always looking in the best of others. They don't believe the lie that the enemy tries to attach to somebody else. When they see others that are defeated and destroyed, they look beyond that. They see the potential. They see the champion. When everyone else walks out on a person, these are the kind of people that walk into their life. They love other people, and they love God. Someone asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment in Matthew 22? He said, you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first, but listen to me. The second is just as powerful as the first, that you will love one another just like you love me. And he says, all the law and everything that the prophets say, hang on this, love God, love people. Love God. Love people. Love God. I don't care who they are, where they come from, what's about them. You're called a champion. A habit of a champion is to love somebody else that nobody else wants or nobody else loves. Oh, you know, and it's just something inside of me. I just love the underdog. I love it when everybody else is pointing a finger at somebody. I love it when the guy or the woman messes up and I get to say to them, you come on down. You sit right on the front row with me. I don't care what anybody says. I'll put my arm around you. I'll believe God with you, because God did not destine anybody for failure, but he destined them to be a champion for him today. Woo! Come on. A habit of a champion is to have a love for God and a love for people. A second habit is champions believe that God can and will use them to do absolutely anything. Oh, I like this one. This one makes me happy, because people like this, they say things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They say things like, when they're going through something, it's no big deal. Romans 8:28 says that God will work all things out for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. They say things like Ephesians 1:11, he works all things according to the counsel of his will. When fear comes on them, when failure approaches them, they speak like what Paul did to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given me the spirit of fear, again to timidity, but he's given me the spirit of love and a power and a sound mind. And I feel an anointing on me today that's going to break the yoke of bondage off of some people's life, because 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. Every bit of fear. You got to believe that God has called you and he will use you to do absolutely anything. God, I love that. Because the inside of you is not just you. Inside of you dwells this champion that God has come and given his life for and sent his son Jesus Christ for. The third habit of a champion, and I really want you to listen to this one. Not that I don't want you to listen to all of them, but this one has some relevance to it. Champions don't become champions in the ring. They are only recognized there. Hear this now. They become champions by the daily, everyday, mundane things that they do. If you cheat in the morning, know that it'll show up in the afternoon or the night. Champions do everything every day to be overcomers when it is needed. No prize fighter ever became what they were in the ring. They did what they needed to do every single day of their lives. I've said this before, I take a major regimen of vitamins. I have now for about 14 months. I have not been sick a day. But you know what? When I take those vitamins, I gulped them down this morning. I don't take that big vitamin C and say, whew, now I feel vitamin C running through my veins. Woo. I don't take the B12 and the B complex and say, whoa, now I feel like a vitamin B. I feel good. Come on. I don't take all those vitamins. I don't take the 10,000 unit vitamin D and say, oh, I feel sunshine on me right now. I feel this. I don't feel it, but I know, because I take them every day, that over time, the benefits show up and it strengthens me without me even knowing it. Champions are never made in one day, but they're made in the daily regimen of their discipline. Champions have a hunger to have a daily discipline in their lives. And you will never reach the potential that God has called or created you to be unless you have that daily devotion, discipline, hunger every single day of your life. If you encounter a battle in your life, and this happens, and you know, I've been pastoring out for a few years, and people will show up because they're in the midst of a battle, and they'll never have their Bible until they're in the midst of the battle. Then they'll take their Bible with them everywhere. We'll meet for coffee. They'll bring their Bible with them, and I love that. But how about bringing your Bible every single day with you? How about carrying the Word of God everywhere you go? How about not waiting to the battle to get in shape to fight the battle? Because you'll never know when the battle's coming. But let me tell you something. You'll face a battle in your life. And unless you're ready and in shape to deal with it, it'll plow you over. I'm just encouraging somebody right now. You know, when Jesus, when the disciples, they couldn't cast the demon out of the man who had the issue. And they said, I brought my son, and your disciples couldn't do it. And Jesus said, this thing only comes about through prayer and fasting. Let me tell you this. When you run up against something that is so demonstrably from the demonic and oppression of some sort, you don't just face that and say, okay, now I'm going to begin to pray and fast and step away from it for 15 minutes. And Lord, help me now. And okay, I'm not going to eat my candy bar for the next 15 minutes. Okay, I'm hungry now. Now, will this work? It doesn't happen that way. It happens by you praying and fasting on a regular basis. We don't, you know, that's why last year when it came, I just was so challenged that we shouldn't be fasting just one time of the year. We should be fasting every day of the week. You should fast a lunch or a breakfast or a dinner. You should make that a part of your life. So when the battle comes, when the evil one comes, when the demons of hell come against you, you can stand up and say, no, no, baby, you're not going to have any place here. Let me tell you something. As pastor, as a father, you think you'll be a dad and the enemy will never try to come against your home? Get a life. Because the enemy makes it his plan to come against you. And you can't wait to start going to church when the bottom drops out. I'm going somewhere with this right now. How many of you are with me right now? You can't work out in the ring and expect to win the battle. You have to do every single day what it's going to take for when the battle comes to your life for you to overcome it. And I'm talking to some dads in here today. And if you think for 1 minute, I'm talking to all the dads with new babies, they're so beautiful and cute and they're so innocent and lovely, and you wait until they get to be a teenager. They will pull every chain in your life. And if you're not praying and fasting and believing God and standing in the truth, you know, Job, the Bible says, he brought an offering to the Lord every day for his children in case they did something and he didn't know about it. I do that to this day. Oh, dear God, help my kids, Lord. It's just a funny in there. I'm trying to lighten you up a little bit. Do you know the story in Acts chapter 2? You know the story. It's the great story where God poured out his Holy Spirit. The Bible says he met them in that upper room and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost was broke out among them. They spoke in tongues. Peter got up and preached the message. 3,000 people came to Christ. And you know what happened after that? You think, oh, great victory, great time. We're going to sleep in the next day. No, you know what happened? The Bible says in Acts chapter 3 that about the ninth hour that Peter and John got up and they went to the temple to pray. Because what happens great this day does not negate the routine and the discipline that you have to do the next day. Amen. Amen. You can amen me now or later. You're going to amen me one way or the other. We had Thursday night, Pastor Roderick was here. Great night. And we don't do it hardly ever anymore, but just because we don't eat late. But we took them out, had dinner, laughed, talked. I got home. It's 11 o'clock. Man, I'm getting up at 10 after 5 every morning. I'm thinking, whew, Thursday night, 11 o'clock. I've been up since, I was up early. I was up at 5 o'clock Thursday morning. I mean, I'm tired. I lay down and I drop off and I'm thinking, maybe the Lord's not calling me to go to the gym in the morning. Praise the Lord. Maybe He just wants me to get a little extra rest. No! No! And I told my flesh, no way, Jack. I got this old, dead, cripply, old, creaky body up out of the bed. Man, my eyeballs didn't want to open up. They're telling me, no, no, no. That bed is so soft and so warm, and your wife is in there, and she's resting, and that's where you belong. And discipline screams to me that if you're going to be a champion, you're going to do it every single day, no matter what happened the day before. I love the story of Evan Roberts. It's a great read that you should just study about him. At a young age, Evan Roberts, he was born in a little Methodist home in Wales. And his dad was a coal miner. At 12 years old, Evan Roberts had to leave school to go help his father in the coal mine. The story, the history of Evan Roberts, he would take his Bible with him and he would put it in the coal mine and he would read his Bible as a young boy every single day. And then he got to the place where he'd open up his Bible, he'd read it, and he'd read scripture to the men that were walking into the coal mine every single day. And the hand of God was upon him and he began to believe God to use him and do great things. And he was calling out for the Lord. They had a great fire in the coal mine. Many people were killed, and the history writes that Evan Roberts thought that his Bible would have been burned because there was an explosion, and he went in there and his Bible was completely intact. Nothing had happened to it. And Evan Roberts began to pray. He began to pray for 100,000 people to come to Jesus Christ. Oh, and the story says that as he began to pray, God would use him. And he lived by a particular scripture verse out of John chapter 20 and verse 24. It says that Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus showed up. And that checked his heart so much to the point where he made up his mind that no matter what happened, he was going to be in that church service because he never knew when Jesus himself might show up. Well, Evan, he begins to pray and he begins to, he had a little meeting with 12 young adults on a Thursday night, and that thing began to break loose until thousands begin to show up to these meetings on a regular basis and begin to give their hearts to Christ. And all the coal miners in those coal mines, they gave their heart to Christ so much that the horses that would pull the coal out of the coal mines, they were so used to swear cuss words for commands, to turn here, go there, you old blankety 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 blank, that all these coal miners got saved and they had to retrain the horses because they didn't understand their language anymore. Woo! And 100,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Why? Because if there was a prayer meeting, Evan would show up. If there was a meeting of the pregnant women talking about a dinner that they were going to put on, Evan showed up. If there was a meeting for the choir rehearsal, Evan showed up. And he would be there every time because he never knew. If he missed it, that might have been the moment that Jesus would show up and change everything. And some of us need to get that discipline in our heart. We live in a culture that says, oh, if you got time, go ahead and fit God into it. But God says, if you got time, you can go and do something outside the culture, but put Him first in all of your life. And I was so blessed that last year that my son Garrett last summer got to stand with Pastor Benny Hinn in front of that chapel where 100,000 people went through there. He didn't even realize the impact. When I saw that, tears began to come down my face because that was the very ground that thousands upon thousands of people came and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I come into the house of God on a regular basis, I always think this could be the day that somebody's life is radically changed. This could be the day that somebody's history is rewritten, because this could be the day that Jesus does something in our lives. Come on, do you believe that today? That's a habit. Champions are not made in the ring. They're only recognized there. And habit number four, champions decide now that their future has great value. You read the story of Esau in Genesis chapter 25, where the Bible says that Esau was out working in the field, and he came in one day and he was really hungry, and Jacob had made a pot of stew. And Esau was so hungry, and Jacob, the schemer that he was, Esau wanted to eat. And Jacob said to him that if you want to eat, you're going to have to give up your birthright. Now, and I'll tell you about the birthright in just a moment. Genesis 25, 32. Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is the birthright to me? And Jacob said, swear to me. And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of soup. In verse 34, Esau gave Jacob bread and stew, and he ate and he drank and he rose and he went on his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. He gave it up. Now, he gave that birthright up. It's not just a necklace or a medallion or some kind of a prize. A birthright was the authority to speak to the next generation, to have a voice into the next generation. I want some of you to listen to me right now. When you sell yourself cheaply, when you decide that you care more about your present than you do what God wants to do in your future, you crush the potential of the destiny that God not only has for your life, but has for your children, for your family, for the people around you. One moment of pleasure does not equal the blessing that God has for your destiny. And temptation will blind. Amen. Give the Lord a praise on that. And don't mess around. Temptation will blind you to your future and try to tell you, well, you're hungry now, you might just as well eat. This guy or this woman is here now, you might just as well embark or engage. This is here. That's here. And temptations are all around us. And the Bible says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not weapons formed. The word form means a tailor-made weapon, because the enemy knows your weakness. Come on, the enemy, I said, he knows your weakness. You don't send the guy that has the issue with alcohol, you don't send him into the bar to get you a takeout lunch. You know that's the issue. That's the challenge. You know, I go and I drive by the casino, the racetrack up there. If you know me, I'm not a big proponent of it. People say, yeah, but look at all the money it's bringing in. Yeah, you know where that money's coming from? People that are busted because they lost it all. I don't drive by the casino. I just had to throw that in case any of you wondered where I stood on that. because I don't want to see it broke and busted and disgusted. You know, all that money there, that's coming out of somebody's pocket. That's just not dropping out of heaven. Hello? I drive by that casino. There's nothing in me that's tempted to go there. I drive by there, I see people, their pockets, they're big on the way in and they're small on the way out. I drive by there, I begin to pray for people. God help them. Lord help them to know the real source. That's not in the gaming in there, it's in the relationship with the Lord and the Master Jesus Christ. I don't get tempted. When I go into the 7-Eleven to buy some milk or to get something, I'm not tempted by the cigarettes and the beer. That doesn't tempt me at all. But the enemy knows and forms weapons that he knows will tempt me. And he knows which will tempt you. And you need not to flirt or go near them. You need to stay away from them, because the enemy is good at forming weapons that will destroy not only your present, but he wants your future. And I'm talking to parents here today. The enemy just doesn't want you. He wants your seed. He wants your children, your grandchildren. He wants the potential that you have to speak to your next generation. But the champion that is inside of you causes you to be an overcomer, causes you to live beyond where you're at right now, causes you to see beyond your own temporal state, and causes you to embrace and to take hold of the plan and the purpose that God has for your life. Come on, are there any champions in the house today? Come on, give the Lord a great praise. Come on, you can give Him a prayer. Some of you ought to jump up on your feet, say, I'm a champion for God. Come on, God is in you. He's with you. Come on. Give the Lord a great praise today. Don't mess around. I'm a champion for God. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to give Him my life. I'm going to give Him my future. Will not let the enemy take over my life. I will be a champion for Jesus Christ. I give you praise and glory. Come on, just stay standing. Hallelujah. Close your eyes all over this house. Some more of you, you need to stand up in this house. I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to let the things of this world. I'm not going to let something in a bottle or a package or a bag or something take away my destiny. I'm not going to let my past, my failure, my mistakes. I will not let them dictate who I am going to become. Oh, I feel the move of God happening right now. If God, if the Spirit of the Lord is moving on you right now for any way, I want you to get out of your seat and come down to the altar right now. You're going to make a declaration by faith. Maybe you're here today and things in your family, in your home, are jacked up to a certain level. God wants to deliver you out of that. He wants to show you a plan for your future. He wants to give you a hope. He doesn't want you to live discouraged and despondent and broken and wounded anymore. He has a vision, a purpose, a destiny, and a plan for your life. Come on, there's more of you. Just get out of your seat and come on down. Some of you need to just come down. You need to thank God for what He's doing in your life today. You need to thank Him. Some of you, you come from such a long ways. And maybe you just stopped on that progress on your way. Maybe you're not as on fire as you once were. God wants to stir that up in you today because there's something inside of you that He's laid His hand on for purpose. And He wants that in your life today. I'm going to give you 10 more seconds, 15 more seconds to come. There's some dads in here. You need to humble yourself. Maybe there's been some things in your life that have taken you down the wrong road. He said, today is your day. Woo! Today is your day for a change. The champion, Jesus Christ, has come to you today and has brought change and hope and life to you today. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want five of my prayer people to come down here real quick. Hallelujah. I want everybody that's up at the front here, I just want you to open up your hands. You're going to receive something from God. Guys, just begin to pray for them right now. Come quickly. Ryan, I want you to come up here. Just come down, lay hands on them. Pastor Larry, come on up here. Just begin to lay hands on them and pray for them now. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is your day. You need to do that before you can do anything else. Wayne and Shawnee, come on down here. I want you to come down. Brady, I hope you're up here. Hallelujah. Bless them, Lord, now. You've never given your life to Christ. Today is your day. You need to open up your heart. Give Him your life right now, right where you're at. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin today. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. Take my life, Lord God. I give it all to you. In the name of Jesus, I give you thanks. I give you praise for it, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, I pray strength and blessing, Lord. In the name of Jesus, old things to be gone. And behold, all things to be brand new in their lives today. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, I give you praise. I give you thanks, Lord, for what you're doing, God, today. The mighty God, mighty Lord, working in this life today. Old things are gone. And behold, I make all things brand new, Jesus says, in your life today. Strength and power. be upon their lives today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I give you glory for what you're doing, God. I give you praise, God, for the power of Jesus. We just honor you, Lord, today, God. Ryan, come up here and just sing a verse of that song, would you? Oh, God, all over the house, just lift up a hand, stretch it out towards these beautiful people that have responded. These people's lives, they're going to begin to move mountains. Move mountains. Thank you, Lord God.
Before the world began,
oh, you were on his mind. There's five more people that need to come down. You've just been standing where you are right now, and I sense in my spirit the Lord say, tell him, come. It's not too late for you. Come right now. Come right now. There's five more. Thank you, Lord God. Yeah.
He gave his only son.
Oh, yes.
And everything was done so you will come.
Thank you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord.
Come to the Father.
You serve a powerful way, God.
For your gift is
keep
small.
Keep her strong, keep her free, keep her from harm, God, in Jesus.
Broken hearts, broken lives, he will take them all.
Yes, come on.
The power of his word, oh, the power of his blood, and everything was done so.
Everybody in this house, just close your eyes. Lift up a hand to him right now. This is glory in the house today. This is a spirit visitation today. You'll mark this moment down. History is being revealed in some lives that are up here right now. Even some lives in the congregation. He's going to change some things around for you. Going to heal some things that have been broken, that are out of place. God is not mad at you at all. All he wants you to do, submit to him. Make it a daily habit. He'll begin to change things in your life. You can't change. You can't begin to do in your own strength and your own power. He'll take away those weaknesses inside of you that are destined to destroy you. And he'll put in you. You'll recognize the heart of a champion living inside of you. When you are tempted, you'll just reflect back. There's a champion inside of me. No, I'm an overcomer because I've been praying today and reading the Word of God. No weapon formed against me. That fashioned, formed weapon, it's not going to prosper in my life. God, because you have given me victory and the power of Jesus is inside of me right now. Father, I declare and I speak life over these that have come. May the best be their portion, I pray, today. May you be honored and glorified in their lives in a manifold way. The half has not been told what he will do with you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I speak over this house today. This is a new day. I declare in this house, it is a new day. Old things are gone. Mindsets, habits, poor decisions, a lack of fire, a lack of destiny, a lack of purpose in some lives. Just a floundering day in and day out. No vision. I pray this will be the day that begins to change. And the discipline of every day begins in every life in this house. And I thank you for it. I give you glory and all the honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said a great amen. Come on, can you give the Lord a great praise? Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. I love you. I'm so proud of every one of you.